Night prayer meeting. Amen. All right.
Find a place to set this down. Now, like the preacher said, my name is Dave Spurgeon. I recognize many of you, not everybody. So we're up here from Charity Baptist Church, Dayton, Ohio. And praise the Lord. It's a real pleasure. It's an honor. And, well, we're glad to be back. It's been a couple years. This is my wife, Susan. And we're just glad to be here. That's our big thing out in the parking lot. So anybody complained we had your space, that's me. Bring that up with me later. I'm okay with it. And anyway, you ready? Okay, let me know, and then we'll see what happens.
I look around and see the good things you've done for me. I know I'm unworthy of them all.
For the
blessings you freely give, I owe my life to Him.
I've got
so much to thank Him for.
I've got
so much to thank Him for. So much to praise Him for. You see, He's been so good to me.
When
I think of what He's done
and
where He's brought me from, so much to thank Him for.
And
sometimes while I'm this way,
I kneel
and stop to say, thank you for all you've done for me.
When
I reach sweet heaven's shore, please let me kneel once more.
I've got
so much to thank Him for.
I've got
so much to thank Him for.
So much
to praise Him for. You see, He's been so good to me.
I think
of what He's done
and
where He's brought me from.
I've got
so much to thank Him for.
When I
think of what He's done and where He's brought me from, I've got so much to thank Him for.
Amen. That's what I'm singing.
Amen.
Ready? Amen. Well, isn't that the truth? We have got so much to thank Him for. I thank Him for letting us come back up here. Amen? And, all right. Take your Bible tonight and just hold on to them for a minute because I'm not quite ready. Now, let me see. 2 years ago. It's here 2 years ago. A year ago, January, Unshackled did my testimony, and they recorded it, and they wanted me to come. I was in Texas preaching. I didn't have time to go up there and be a celebrity. So they did it, and I heard it a couple months later, and they aired it for a week straight last May. And sometime after that, they sent me a master cop. And so I don't sell it or anything. I make it available. I just made a master copy for every church that I go to. Put that in your archive. Anybody needs a copy of it, wants to hear it, thinks it might be something that somebody might hear and bring them closer to the Lord, that the purpose of it, there's your copy. Amen. Now, got that over with because sometimes I forget that, and we got it out of the way by the first day. So some of you have already asked about the book. I was working on that last time, back there on the table. CDs, there is a new CD, finally. So all that's self-explanatory. Now let's get down to the important stuff. You know what some people say, that us independent Baptists, all we do is talk about money. So I'm going to get that out of the way here, this very first service. Amen. There's an evangelist. He is praying, like that's what we do, I mean, right? Pray about what to preach, pray about, you know, what the Lord has us to do. And this one, I won't mention my name. I mean his name, but he was praying, and he got God's mind. He thought for the meeting, and that night, and he went on and asked God a couple questions. He said, God, what's a million years like to you, God, to you? What's a million years like? And the Lord answered. And the Lord said, like a minute. And so he thought, well, the Lord's answering him still. And he went on and said, Lord, what's a million dollars like to you? And he was pleasantly surprised. The Lord answered that one and said, like a penny. So, he said, well, let's go for it here. Lord, would you give me a penny? Have you seen gas prices? No. And the Lord answered him and said, in a minute. Amen. Take your Bible tonight and go to Acts chapter 15. Acts chapter 15. Man, those were brutal prayers, man. I was wondering who he was talking about. Brother Spurgeon's going to slap us around and beat us up. Come on, man. I come to share. And you get to cope. Amen. Amen. Acts chapter 15 and verse 36. The Bible says this. And some days after, Paul said unto Barnabas, let us go again and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they do. Yeah, it says in some days after, and they'd been kind of bogged down with some church issues. They'd been to a big preacher's conference in Jerusalem, and there was some discussion and debate over, you know, what to load the Gentiles up with as far as the legalistic aspects of the Jewish faith. And there was, you know, Christianity's in a very early stage here, and they came to some determination there that they ought to just not put on them more than necessary things. I wonder if that worked today. Amen. That's not the message, but I know, listen, I've been involved in some meetings and discussions like that, and everybody's got an opinion, and they're like armpits. Everybody's got them, and usually they don't smell that great. But I'll tell you what, Paul, he wanted to get back on the road. He wanted to get back to the work that God called him to. And that's where we pick it up in verse 36. And some days after, Paul said unto Barnabas. Now, Barnabas was his travel companion, used to be. Let us go again and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they do. Now, let me say, I understand his sentiment there. I understand him wanting to do that. He enjoyed his job. He loved his calling. He loved being around the people of God. He loved preaching the Word of God. He loved seeing God do stuff in people's life. And, amen. That's why I love my job. That's why I love the road. Like I say, I understand him wanting to do that because that's what we want to do. And we've been going for 2 years. We just kind of came back to see how you do. So I want to preach to you tonight on this thought here. How you doing? How you doing, Blessed Oak Baptist Church? And no, I don't want to answer. But that's what I want to preach tonight. How you doing? Let's pray again. Oh, Father, it is good to be in the house of the Lord tonight. The songs have been soothing to my soul and true. I'm reminded there's more sound doctrine in our hymnal than is going across the pulpit of most churches in America today. And whether that matters or not, what does matter to you tonight is what goes on in here. And so, Father, I pray that you'd manifest yourself in such a way that it'll be truly good for us to be able to say it was good to be here. And I pray most of all that you'd be pleased. And, Lord, there's needs in here. I couldn't meet them if I knew them. I can't even meet my own needs, Lord. But, God, you don't fail. And you can, and I pray that you would. And Father, give us something tonight to get us closer to you, because we acknowledge just by virtue of our being here that that is what we need. And may the Lord Jesus Christ get all the honor and glory out of everything this night and these next few days. And if that could happen, we'll thank you in His holy and precious name, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. All right, that's a common greeting. We're in a different church every week, and we made some friends, and we're making new friends all the time, and we probably make some of them other things too, but they don't say much to us, you know. When people that don't like things, I don't have a big problem with people getting in my face too much. I appreciate that because, you know, I want to be gracious and things like that. We got a testimony. You understand what I'm saying tonight? But one of the common greetings, and it is, I mean, Maine to Miami, Los Angeles, Minnesota, we say this to each other. A lot of times when we greet, we say, how you doing? How you doing? It's a common greeting amongst the brethren. It's a common greeting amongst lost people. Amen. I'd be somewhere and waiting in line somewhere and make eye contact with somebody, and one of us will say, how you doing? And generally, the answer goes like this. Doing all right. Doing all right. Again, whether it's in a church house or out and about, maybe at work, maybe at school, generally, we say, how you doing? It's an act of politeness and inquiry. And the answer generally is doing all right. And now that's, some people you don't say, how are you doing, too. Some people, you know, and you learn that. And we've learned that. And some people, because if you were to say, how you doing? A lady, not long ago, buddy, I'm saying you might as well take up a chair because she's going to tell you in detail way more information, especially before the meeting. There are some people that I avoid because I won't even be able to be thinking straight by the time I get up here. Amen. But and this is true, too, amongst God's people. Even when things aren't going well, they'll answer, doing all right. Because, truthfully, no matter what's going on, in the long view, if you're saved, man, things are all right. Amen. So, the question tonight, the message tonight, the title tonight is that right there. How you doing? And so, you know, let me ask you this, too. Are you doing all right? Are you doing all right? So, you know, we're not going to leave it there because that'd be the shortest message in the world. And I wouldn't be evangelist very long. So let me give you some things, specific things to contemplate with that thought in mind. So take your Bible, go to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, and we're going to look at verse 1. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse number 1. Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 1, the Bible says this. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. So my question, number 1 tonight, is this right here. How are you doing at running your race? How are you doing? There's a race set before you, set before I. And so I want you to think about the answer, how that answer would be when I ask you, how are you doing at running your race? Amen. You see it's right there. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us. And now, some things about races. Now, number 1, races have rules. Races have rules. If you're running a race, amen, you got to run by the rules. Now, out in California, there's a preacher, friend, common with your pastor and I and others, perhaps. His name's Steve Andrus. He pastors Bayview Baptist Church in San Pedro, California. And he's a personal friend of mine as well, and he's a good guy. And one time we were there after the meeting ended, and we were around a couple days before moving over a county or two, we went over to their house, and they asked us if we'd like to play a game called Mexican Train. How many ever heard of Mexican Train? Okay, a couple of you have heard. My wife raised her hand. Yeah, you were there. And I had never heard of it. Never heard of it. They liked it. And so you take out a bunch of things like dominoes and turn them all upside down, and I'm not going to go into it. But I just want to say this. I learned to play the game from them, from Steve and Amelia Andrus, and they taught us the rules, and it was kind of fun, and especially when I won, and then we liked it, and we got a box up in the game itself. We got a chance to introduce a few other people to the game, and they liked us. They'd never heard of it, but then finally we ran into some people that that had heard of it, had played it, even got back to our home church, and a couple in the church were real close to, had them over and asked them if they wanted to play Mexican Train. We were going to teach them, but we didn't need to teach them. They already knew how to play it. They already had the game. They already had experience. Well, praise the Lord. We just cut to the chase. But there's a problem. The problem was they had different rules. And boy, every time I was gay, every time I was starting to make a move, they'd say, no, you can't do that. Then we'd have to have a 15-minute discussion on the rules. And that's really interesting because none of us really ever actually read the rules. We all just kind of developed. It gets a little frustrating if everybody's not running by the same rules. Amen. So my question to you tonight is, how are you doing it running your race? And I thank God that we've got the rules, and you know where they're at. And praise the Lord for the Word of God, the King James Bible, final authority on all matters of faith and practice. And it's full of rules, guidelines, suggestions, commandments. Thank God. Hey, thank God for a firm foundation like we just sang about. Some of them go like this, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Now, you can rightly divide yourself till you're blue in the face, and when you get done, you're going to find out that applies to you. Them are the rules. Amen. So, races have rules, and not only that, 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Go ahead and turn there, 1 Corinthians chapter 9. First Corinthians chapter 9, and Paul again refers to the race, amen, and talking about the Christian life, and he says this in verse 24. He says, know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize. He's talking about a secular competitor, and back then I don't know when the Olympics came on the scene, but the Greeks and the Romans, they ran races and all kinds of stuff. That's where that stuff kind of originated. And he draws an illustration to this group of Gentile converts in Corinth. He draws a comparison there with the Christian life and a competition, a race. And he said, know ye not? And of course they knew. So that's why he was able to use that. It says, know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize. And let's face it, what's the prize? The prize is what? In this day and age, oftentimes it's a plastic trophy. But still, here's one thing in common with a competitor, whether it's small scale or large scale, if they're going to train, if they're going to sacrifice, if they're going to put their eye on some kind of prize and put themselves out for it, what they'll do is run all. In other words, it wouldn't even make sense to even get started if you weren't going to give it everything you had. That's why they're called competitors, amen. Then so here's what he tells the church there. He says, so run. Amen. That ye may obtain. And the main thing about this is, because of the Lord Jesus Christ, we're not competing with one another. We're all get a chance to get one day into the winner's circle, if you will. Amen. But that even to me, it ought to be more incentive to just run all, to give it everything we got, to try to do our best for the Lord. Now, don't you see that in there? That's what I see in there. So let me ask you again. How you doing? How you doing? Amen. Are you running by the rules? Are you running with all you got? You know, we live in a day and age where, of course, the world's getting more heathen by the day. And Christianity is getting more apostate by the day. Amen. And the temptation amongst Bible believers is to compromise more and more by the day. And I said, I'd say this. everybody else has made it real easy for those of us that are truly washed in the blood and eternally secure and have our foot on the solid foundation of the Word of God. If they made it real easy for us to convince ourselves that we're way more spiritual than we actually are. I mean, to look good, we don't even have to run all anymore. Amen. And it still looks like, but my beloved, tonight, for the glory of God, we're supposed to be doing our best for Jesus Christ. And I just got to submit to you that I know this in my personal life. There are times where I just have to be honest and admit, and I go to the Lord and ask Him to forgive me for not giving my best at all. Listen, it's one thing to fail, but it's another thing not to even try. So let me ask you tonight, how you doing at running your race? You know, you got started in this when you got saved. Somebody told me, he says, Brother Spurgeon, I know this is probably, you'll never believe this, but when I first got saved, I was really excited about being saved. I wasn't, you know, calm and sophisticated like I am now. I was really excited. And, you know, some sat back and said, let's see how long it takes for him to get over it. You know, I hope I never get over it. And the Bible says iron sharpeneth iron, and so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. And I'll tell you what will help you from getting over it is hang around some people that aren't over it either. Amen. But a guy did. And this was wise. I don't know what his motives were. Really, thinking back, but what he said was correct. The Christian life is not a 50-yard dash. It's a marathon. It's a marathon. And you know what you have to do in a marathon? I mean, like, I have any idea. But I would think that you have to learn to pace yourself. Amen. I wouldn't want to walk that. Amen. But he said, let us run with patience the race that was set before us. And you got started when you got saved. Now, you're here on Wednesday night. I want to ask you if you're still running your race. And I acknowledge you're here on Wednesday night. But listen, there's people all over. And when I say all over, I'm not talking about all them other people. I'm talking about our crowd. I'm a Bible believer. Amen. I preach to us. Okay? There's people in our churches all over the country that I'll see on Wednesday night and Sunday, and I won't see them during the week. That's not running very much. That's just duty or something. So I'm going to ask you, and acknowledging you're here, are you still running your race? Or are you just going through the motions? That happens. Amen. And, that's what the purpose of a meeting is. Give us a chance to examine some things. And so let me ask you this, too. I ask you if you're still running. Let me ask you this. Are you still running with all you got? Are you still running with all you got tonight? Amen. That'd be a good thing. Are you doing all right? Now, I don't have a television or anything. If I got cable, I'd have a real issue every week when I unplugged, you know, and went across the country. So I don't get to watch television. I didn't watch the Olympics. I didn't watch that kind of stuff when I was lost. I mean, that's like watching golf, you know. I mean, what's up, man? But here's what I know. I don't know where. I must have saw this. I can't even remember where. But it was a big, long race, like, you know, a 440 or something like that. And these guys were running, and they were like, you know, some just fade away. And then the ones that are, you know, still in competition, they're out front, and they're like, look like they're going to fall over. And it gets down to just a few, and I was watching this race, and I said, man, it's amazing anybody who finishes. And then they come around that last curve, and I noticed this right here. They came around that last turn, and that finish line came into view. And here are a couple of these guys that, to me, it looked like they'd be lucky if they could walk in somehow from somewhere, drew on some strength that caused them to not only keep going, but to actually pick up the pace. I got news for you. The finish line is coming into view, beloved. Just like brother prayed, things are, like it or not, things seem to be really falling into place exactly the way the Lord predicted that they would. Okay? And I don't know how rough it's going to get, but it looks to me like, listen, as it gets spiritually darker and darker, I prophesied that the Sun of Righteousness is getting ready to break over the eastern sky. Hey, the finish line is coming into view. It's not time to let up. It's not time to lighten up. It's time to reach down as deep as we've got to and draw some strength from somewhere for the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ, and not just stay in the race, amen, but pick up the pace. Let me ask you, how you doing tonight at running your race? At running at your race. Are you doing all right? I mean, you know, answer within the quietness of your own spirit, but answer honestly. Paul said, let us go again and visit our brethren in every city and where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they do. And that's an exciting thing to do. Amen. But let me ask you something else. Take your Bible, go to James chapter 4. James chapter 4. James chapter 4, not tonight. Familiar passage. Should be to anybody that's very saved at all. I know it is in this church. I know your preacher. I know what you preach. I know what you believe. It says this in verse 7. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. And therefore, well, he giveth grace, more grace. God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. I tell you what, God is the last person you want resisting you. Amen. But he giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourself, therefore, because you get more grace. And we need more. Therefore, to God. And then it says this, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Lady, early on in my Christian life, I had been saved, I don't know, a year or two maybe, and precious saint of God, elderly lady that, you know, very spiritual, I thought, and now 20 years later still think in a lot of ways, stood up and gave testimony, you know, and got called on, and she was struggling with something, and she said, Pastor, he said, the Bible says resist the devil and he will flee from you. And she was going through something, and we all do. And then she said this. She said, I resist the devil, but he doesn't flee. Now, I didn't know where the verse was, but I had heard it. I'd heard it preached. I'd heard it quoted. And I'd also heard this. The Bible's right. So when she said that, it got my attention. And I thought, well, how can that be? Because the Bible says, if you resist the devil, he will flee. So, you know, I pondered that thought and went searching for the verse and found it. And she only quoted half the verse, didn't she? Because it says, submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Amen. Resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. My question, this one is, how you doing? How you doing tonight at resisting the devil? How you doing at resisting the devil? And so let me just give you an obvious answer here. If you're not submitted, therefore, to God, you're not doing very good at resisting the devil. This isn't Burger King Christianity. You don't get to have it your way. Listen, I had a cousin. She is quite a bit older than me. That's why I think of her as an aunt. But lived down in Georgia, outside of Atlanta. And her and her husband, they had a place out in the country. It wasn't a farm, but it was a couple acres. and surrounded by beautiful trees, and there were pecan trees and lilacs. You guys call them lilacs, don't you? I heard that on radio today, lilacs. We got them down south, but boy, they're beautiful. We love them up here. And they had a pond, and they had a little dock, and they had a little boat down there, and they had a porch. It was beautiful. And we went down there to visit, and they're kind of showing us around, and we just got in the backyard, and the flowers and everything was real beautiful. But they said, well, there's a problem. And I said, well, what's the problem? I said, this is great, man. I can live here. And they pointed down by the pond, and if you studied the pond a little bit, you could see movement down there. This is in the daytime. They were infested with snakes. Now, they weren't poisonous snakes for the most part, but there were enough snakes down there by the water's edge that you didn't want to go down there and fish or get in a boat. It was kind of spooky. And as it got darker and they started to come out more and more, then you could almost see the ground moving down there, and the cattails are moving, and once you knew what it was, and it wasn't a gentle Georgia breeze, you know, you kind of wanted to stay in the house. Pretty as it was, see? And they had some money, they were trying to take care of it, and they were doing things and using things, and finally got a specialist in there and said, nothing we tried works, and we want to get rid of these snakes. And the guy said, the only way you're going to get rid of this, and everybody liked the lily pads and the cattails and all that. They said, the only way you're going to get rid of the snakes is to get rid of what the snakes like. See, you're never going to run them off because the conditions are so conducive to their habitat that they'll just keep coming back. You got to get rid of what the snakes liked. And so they had to go in and then they cut down everything. And you know what? Once they got rid of what the snakes liked, the snakes left on their own. You know, the Bible, the devil's compared to a serpent. And my question tonight is how are you doing at resisting the devil? And you can be saved, and you can be a King James Bible believer, and you can be faithful in a lot of areas, but I just got to tell you that if you have got things in your life, if you surrounded yourself with things the snake likes, he's not going to leave. The Bible says over there, in meekness instructing them that oppose themselves to God, peradventure God will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil or taken captive by it at his will. And it just ought to be unacceptable for a King James Bible believer to have the devil just throwing a wrench in your spokes or upsetting your apple cart or however you want to say it anytime he wants to, because you've just decided that, well, that probably is not good, but I'm going to do it anyway because so-and-so does, or they, and that's how we are. And listen, you're not going to lose your salvation, but I'm telling you, there's some victories that are not available until we learn how to resist the devil. And that means do some serious inventory and get some things out of our life that he likes. Might be music. Might be Facebook. Okay, I got it. I just wanted to throw that out there for a little test because I hate that thing and I hope God lets me just talk a lot about it. You know what? Wait a minute. But if he doesn't want me to, I'll try not to, because, you know, I didn't come here with an agenda. We need God. We need God this week. Okay? So if we want to be sensitive to what he wants. That's my job. And you need to be careful to be sensitive if the Spirit of God's speaking to you, whether you like it or not. And if that could happen on both sides of the pulpit here, well, we could be better off by Monday than we are right now. Amen. It says, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. And I got to wonder, the next verse says, draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. And I wonder, if you're not submitting yourself to God, which will cause you to get closer to God, draw nigh to God. Wonder if that might mean, now this is not a doctrinal statement, wonder if that might mean you're actually getting closer to the devil. If you're not getting closer to God, I wonder if you might be getting closer to the devil. I'm not saying intentionally, but I believe he's on the move tonight. Amen. Over in Mark 4 it said, Satan cometh immediately. Amen. And maybe we need to be reminded tonight, he's very subtle. And he has devices. And if he's used one and it no longer works because you got wise to it, he's got others. He doesn't come in the front door. Amen. And I got something else. He's still a liar. He was a liar. He was always a liar. He's still a liar. And beloved, tonight he's the author of pride and confusion and doubt and discord. The Bible says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. And his job isn't to give you a bad day. His job is to destroy. And it hasn't changed. And if you're saved, well, your soul's safe. But your testimony's not. Your children are not. They're not saved. And he's on the move. That's why it says, before Paul warns the church at Ephesus about the spiritual battle, he tells them in verse 10 of chapter 6, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. And boy, I'll tell you what, it is imperative that our strength be in the Lord, because we're no match for the devil. Amen. So let me ask you tonight, how you doing? How you doing at resisting the devil? Are you doing all right? Or careful personal self-examination, would it show that there might be some things that are in your life that he likes? He's not going to leave until you get rid of them. And the best way you can get rid of them is the purpose in your heart to try to get closer to God. And then the things that sometimes seem like, how can I ever do without? You'll never even notice they're gone. How you doing tonight? Running your race. How you doing tonight at resisting the devil? Amen? Let me ask something else. How you doing at raising your banner? Take your Bible and go to the book of Psalms and go to Psalm 60. Psalm 60. How you doing tonight at raising your banner? Psalm 60 and verse 4, and the Bible says this, and thou hast given a banner to them that fear thee, that it may be displayed because of the truth. Selah. Amen. A banner. He's given a banner to them that fear thee. Are you saved tonight? Amen. The Bible says, fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. I wasn't the smartest guy on the street, but I had enough sense to get saved. Amen. Amen. And thou hast given a banner to them that fear thee, and that it may be displayed because of the truth. You know, the Bible says, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Thank God somebody had a gut to tell me the truth. Amen. And because of that, I got a banner. A banner is to be displayed, just like it says in the verse. Amen. I saw a sign company one time, and it said, it had, its logo, it said, a business with no sign is a sign of no business. That's interesting. That's profound. They were trying to promote people into getting a new... Well, what's a Christian with no testimony? That's about as worthless as a business with no sign. You know that Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 3, but if any man love God, the same is known of him. Now, you can be known for a lot of things. You might be good at some things. But you ought, if you're saved, first and foremost, you ought to be known for loving God. What are you known for? Amen? Skill, talent, intelligence. Does anybody know your child of God? I mean, when it's not so convenient, like at work or at school. You follow me tonight? Nod your head if you're awake. Hello? All right. A banner is to be displayed. A banner identifies something. You know, one of the things I liked in the military was the assemblies on the parade field. Everybody'd break out and, you know, the uniforms were starched and the jump boots were spit polished and our braids were just right. And they'd bring a commanding general over from Fort Bragg and he'd be up there on the reviewing stand and our battalion would come by, 1st of 509th Airborne Infantry, and boy, when I was in Bravo Company, and when Bravo Company went by the review stand, and they said, eyes right, and we'd salute and go by that thing, I'm going to tell you what, we wanted to look good. We wanted to be identified. And out in front of that company was a guidon bearer, and he's got a little flag, and it tells who we are. Because we wanted to be identified. We didn't want to be confused with some other company. Amen. A banner identifies something. My Bible says in John 10:27, my sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. And I just want to say to you, your life ought to identify that you believe in and belong to and follow Jesus Christ. It ought to do that. Not only that, a banner declares something. Paul said, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. I liked that verse. When I saw that verse, I hadn't been saved very long. And I thought, well, praise the Lord, I like that. I wasn't ashamed to run around this country with motorcycle club colors on my back. And I wanted people to know what I cared about. I wanted to know people to know what I loved. And I saw that verse and I said, praise the Lord. Then we ought to be able to let people know what we love. Listen, you go to Walmart. You walk up and down the aisles. You can read the bumper stickers on people, the aisle of the parking lot. You walk up and down the parking lot and read the bumper stickers and people aren't ashamed to let you know what they love and what they care about and who their favorite team is and you read the hats and the bumper stickers. I'm not talking about that kind of thing. I'm talking about our lives. I ought to let people know. They ought to declare. That's your personal testimony. You know, I got a flagpole in my front yard in Ohio and I run up a big old American flag up there But you know what? There comes a time I'll get out there and I'll notice and that flag gets a little tattered. And I got to pull her down. And I got to clean it up. And sometimes I just got to replace it because a tattered banner doesn't bring any honor in the right way. As a matter of fact, it almost does the opposite. Boy, I've been by some places. I called a fire station at Omaha. I said, look here, I'm a veteran. United States Army, and somebody needs to get out there and change that flag, or I'm going to continue down this phone book until I find someone that will. Because it bothered me. Amen. It was disrespectful to me because that banner, it was our flag, was ragged and tattered. No flag would have been better than that. And listen, you and I have been given a banner. Amen. And it's to be displayed, and it's to identify us. Amen. We belong to Christ. How you doing tonight? Raising your banner. Some are just conscious of that kind of thing when it's convenient to them or beneficial to them. Amen. But I told one church, I said, you guys are like Christians on Monday, right? Tuesday, Wednesday, not just Sunday. I told one guy, I said, if you're only going to act like a Christian on Sunday, you better hope you die on Sunday. It got him thinking. Amen. Amen. How you doing tonight at running your race? How you doing at resisting the devil? Just things to ponder this night, this week. How you doing at raising your banner? Boy, maybe there's something needs to be addressed in your personal testimony. If nothing else, just a renewal, a reenlistment, a repurposing in our heart that we're just not going to go the way that not only the world's going, but so many fellow believers. Some of them even independent Baptists. Amen. That's good preaching. I'm going to amen myself in a minute. That's all right. I know how to do that. I learned how to do that. All right. Here's what I say last of all. And somebody say amen to that. All right. 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1. And look at verse 16. First Timothy chapter 1 and verse 16, Paul writes this here. Howbeit for this cause I obtain mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering, for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. You know, he told Timothy in another place to be an example to the believers. But here he's talking about he obtained mercy that in... him first, and me first, Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter, to folks that aren't saved yet. See, that's our commission. And so let me ask you this, and I'll really be done, I think. How you doing? How you doing at reaching others for Jesus Christ? I mean, listen, I know it's getting dark spiritually and crazy things are happening, and I can get discouraged if I'm not careful with some things going on in the world. But the bottom line is, the Lord didn't leave us to hang on by the skin of our teeth or our fingernails until the trumpet blows. He left us here to reach others for Christ. That's our purpose. That's the purpose of this church. That's why God, in a place, in a metropolitan area as big as this, with churches everywhere, he put a Bible-believing work right here for the sole purpose of reaching others for Christ. How you doing tonight, Blessed Hope, at reaching others for Christ? When's the last time you had a good witness one-on-one? Hey, well, listen, we put tracts in our pockets, right? I brought a bunch for you guys, and we put them in like part of the uniform. I'm independent Baptist. I have my tracts. You know, give them away, okay? They're not just there for the part of the uniform. Give them away. We'll get more. I know they cost money, but we'll get more. When's the last time you woke up and said, God, give me an opportunity today? And you ought to be looking insensitive to opportunities to hand out tracts and invite people to church, but I wonder if some of us haven't forgotten that it'd be maybe a good thing in the course of your prayers to maybe really just ask God for an opportunity to really say something. And, you know, I understand the time in which we live, and if it doesn't come to pass, it doesn't come to pass. But I wonder if part of it might be because we're quit looking for opportunity on an individual basis. When was the last time you actually led someone to Christ? Some of you, maybe never. Some of you, maybe it's been a long time. And again, I understand. I understand the age we live in, but we're still supposed to be working at it, aren't we? You know, we used to go on the road, and I'd think, man, I got to, nothing's happening in the churches. I got to go preach in a jail just so I have something put in a prayer letter. Amen. But I'll tell you what, in these last few years, with the crazy things going on in our country, we've seen some people get saved in church. I wish it was more. I wish it was more. But, boy, the Lord gave me a couple of souls a couple months ago in church. And, boy, I tell you what, it did a lot to charge my batteries and fire me up and just made me want to stay in the race. It's amazing what seeing somebody get saved will do to fire you up and help you to battle of complacency that's all around us. Take your Bible, I'm almost done. Go to Mark chapter 5. Now here's one of my favorite passages, my favorite guys. I love the maniac Gadara. I'm going to look him up when I get to heaven. I'm going to look him up, and then I'm going to ask him to take me to the thief on the cross, and the three of us are just going to shout it out because we know that, you know, we're there because solely because of the grace of Jesus Christ. Yeah, and truth of the matter is, nobody is going to be in heaven for any other reason, but solely by the grace of Jesus Christ. Look at verse 19. Howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath had compassion on thee. He had asked him in verse 18 that he might be with him, and he wanted to leave with the Lord. And Lord said, no, I want you to go home. I want you to go home and tell him. Tell him about me. Tell him what I did. Now, the Lord found him in a graveyard, and you're familiar with that. Verse 6 says, but when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him. And you know, you read through that, and the Lord cast the devils out of him. And now he wants to use him, and he wants to use him to reach others for Christ. But something happened between the graveyard where God found him and this commission here in verse 19. Something happened, and it's in verse 15. It says, and they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion, sitting and clothed and in his right mind. And so what happened? You got the guy at Jesus' feet spending some time with the Lord. Between the time the guy got saved and the Lord sent him to reach others for Christ, he spent some time with the Lord so that he'd be a vessel remotely used for the Master's use. And listen, if we're going to reach anybody for Christ, I'm not talking about getting saved, I'm not talking about memorizing verses, I'm talking about if we're going to reach anybody for Jesus Christ, we're going to have to spend some time with the Lord so that we've got something to say that'll make a difference. Ain't nobody impressed me with their eloquence or their salesmanship when I heard the gospel. Amen? I was told the truth according to the Word of God. And that's what people need out there. Amen? They're skeptical of another sales pitch. How you doing tonight at reaching others for Christ? He said, let us go again and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they do. Simple message, four points. I won't even go over them again, but I'll just ask you this. How are you doing at those things? And if you're not doing all right, do something about it. Just do something about it. Get with the Lord and get some direction from God. And do something about it. Amen? And by the end of this invitation or by the end of this meeting, amen. You really, in one of those areas, in all those areas, you really might be doing all right. Let's all stand. Preacher, you come. I'm done.
All right, let's turn to number 166. 166. Well, Anna's finding it. Let's just bow our heads and close our eyes. If you've got the page turned, that's a good thing. Maybe we'll just pause here for a few minutes with our eyes closed and a song you probably know in your heart anyway. I bet some of you have asked somebody today two or three times, process of meeting fellow employees or family or friends. How you doing? Answer comes back, I'm fine. Doing all right. All right, Father, thank you for a chance to be together here tonight. Appreciate the message. And, Lord, we appreciate the preparations you've put into this yourself. Perhaps, Lord, some of us have failed to be as ready as we could have been. But, Lord, there's people praying, and you're God, and you're sovereign, and you know what you're doing. So I pray, Father, that you'd give us what we need here this week. Help us to respond to it. Lord, we pray for a good spirit the rest of this week. There will be opportunities to serve and some extra special stuff along the way here in the next few days. We pray we might enjoy that fellowship and that four type of heaven one day when we're all together. None of us are hurting and none of us are shedding tears. Lord, it'll just be a grand and glorious time. Father, may you give us a measure of that here this week. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, in closing here tonight, I was just going to say, you know, I didn't ask for any special, Gideon's fleece type deal. Some kind of cool happened to me this week. There's a couple that used to come to our church a long time ago, and they even came back, it was probably 10 years ago now. And I was up in St. Francis, stopped by a garage sale, and talking to the guy there for a second. In a minute, around the corner comes this guy and his wife that I hadn't seen. They'd kind of come back to church and kind of eased back out of church and just kind of left. And so here we are at a garage sale. We talked. They, I think, were encouraged to come back. And so I said, well, praise the Lord. You know, the Lord did something there. Well, I'm out running around yesterday and kind of went to a place. I get my prescriptions at Coburn's over in Ramsey, which is not my usual, you know, course to drive. So I had to make an extra trip up there to get something filled. And I walk in the front door, and there's Jerry standing there. And he sees me coming, and he goes like that. Because it's been 10 years since we've seen each other. We've now seen each other twice in a week. Now, what comes of it, I have no clue. What I am assured of is that the Lord does stuff like that in your life all the time. I am sure the Lord's done stuff like that even betwixt and between us here. Don't forget, your God's in control. He knows what He's doing, and He knows what you need, and He knows how to put you in the path of somebody that needs something. Now, whether or not they yield to it, you know, you can't control that. But you can be a vessel. You can be a tool. Amen? We look forward to seeing y'all tomorrow night at 7 o'clock. Let's pray again. Father, thank you again. We will ask your blessing on our dismissal here. You've blessed us for being here already. We pray that we might see some fruit come from this. And Lord, may you encourage your people's hearts in the works of thine own hands that you work in our lives and others. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Good night, everybody.